Sarve.
All collectively.
Hare.
Of the Lord.
Eva.
Certainly.
Saprajapataya.
Along with the Prajapatis.
Smitaha.
Are known. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. All the rishis, manus, demigods, and descendants of Manu, who are especially powerful, are plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord. This also includes the Prajapatis. Purport. Those who are comparatively less powerful are called Vibhuti, and those who are comparatively more powerful are called Avesha incarnations. These are all persons in material bodies, people who have some influence of the material nature on them. So the word Vibhuti is usually used to describe the Supreme Lord's material opulences. Everything is the energy of God. He has his spiritual energies, and they are manifested in the eternal world. But the material world is also his energy. And in a sense, everything is his opulence. But some things are singled out as his special opulences, just as in the 10th canto of the Bhagavad Gita. In the 10th canto of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna lists his special opulences. These are mostly vibhutis, material entities, who show special features that are attractive or impressive or fearful. The rishis, the demigods, the manus, the sons of Manu and the sons of the demigods are all greatly powerful beings. Civilized human beings acknowledge the importance of these rishis, demigods, and others who are associated with them. They are the controllers of the universe. Just as in ordinary human society, even just among the human beings, the brahmanas are respected and honored for what they are. And the ruling class, the kshatriyas, are also respected and feared and honored. For different reasons, both the brahmins and the kshatriyas are very powerful. But their power is of different kinds. The kshatriyas have physical power, physical strength, the strength of their weapons, the strength of punishment. And the citizens are afraid of being punished, therefore they obey the law. This is basic principle of rulership. You must use strength. You must threaten anyone who breaks the law with violence, with punishment. If you don't, then most people will not obey. They have to be threatened with punishment, and punishment has to be given to set an example. If the citizens know that a thief who is caught and proven guilty will have his hands cut off, people will be very reluctant to steal. So the kshatriya has this power of danda, and a real kshatriya is very powerful. And will even cut off the arm of his own son if he's a thief. Brahmanas don't do that. Their strength is of a different kind. The power of the Brahmana is the power of his word. He's perfectly honest. Everything he says is true. And if he's a very potent Brahman, anything he says that isn't true will become true. May you live for 100 years. And that person will live for 100 years because of the benediction of a potent Brahmana. Another kind of power. both the Brahmanas, I think it needs to be turned up also. Both the Brahmins and the Kshatriyas are dedicated to the maintenance of the principles of religion. But the Kshatriyas use force to do that. The Brahmanas use the power of Shastra and of the truth of their own words to enforce the principles of Dharma. So that's in human society. That's among the ordinary human beings. On the higher level, the realm of the control of the universe, heaven, heavenly planets, and the planets of the sages, we have these counterparts of the Brahmins and Kshatriyas. The Kshatriyas on earth have their counterparts, the demigods, who are doing the same thing as the kings on the earth are doing, but doing it for the whole universe. By the force of punishment, of threat of punishment, they're keeping everything in order. When the unruly class of asuras oppose them, then they fight and defeat the asuras, keep them under control, punish anyone who does wrong, and make sure that everything is kept in order in the universe, just as a king on the earth sees that everything is kept in order within his kingdom. So thus, the demigods are the corresponding universal agents corresponding to the Kshatriyas. And the rishis, the sages, correspond to the Brahmanas. They're the Brahmanas on the higher level. They're the original teachers of the Vedas. They give this knowledge to everybody. A Brahmana may have any number of disciples, students, but the person who wrote the book is even more important. A teacher has students, but the author of the textbook, everyone's dependent on him. The knowledge has all been received from him. Srila Rupa Goswami may not have had many disciples, but he wrote all those books. So he's Shastra Acharya. He's Acharya not by virtue of having thousands and thousands of disciples, but by virtue of writing these seminal books on which our whole movement is based. That's the role of a rishi. He founds the tradition of knowledge, the parampara, by writing texts and by initiating his disciples into that knowledge. So these are the rishis, the devas, the manus, who found the human race periodically in each manvantara and organize human society. Human society takes organization, like a big corporation has to be organized to run properly. Human society requires a lot of organization. Animals can just be programmed by their genes, by their instincts, to do what they're supposed to do. But human society is much more complicated to organize. So the manus are responsible for establishing and organizing human society. You have intelligent human beings who can make choices of their own, who can decide to do right or to do wrong, and they have to be dealt with accordingly. First of all, they have to be told what's right. And it's not the same for everyone. It's quite complex. So Swayambhuva Manu, the first Manu, writes the Manusmriti. Other Manus perform similar function of establishing the principles of Varnashrama duties for the different classes of human society. So all of these are kalas of Hari, according to the statement here. And the Prajapatis also, who are the progenitors of the different species of life. Human beings, demigods, demons, animals, plants, everybody are descended from the Prajapatis. A member of Hindu society is expected to know his Gotra. That means which rishi he descends from, which Prajapati. Another of the Vibhutis. So, the verse says Kala, but the purport Prabhupada distinguishes that you can call some of them Vibhutis and some of them Aveshas. these kalas, or partial expansions, material expansions of the Supreme Lord. Those who have a lot of the Lord's power, who display a lot, can be called aveshavatars. And the ones who display less can be called just vibhutis. It's really just a matter of degree. There's no big difference among them, just how much of the Lord's potency they exhibit. Okay, that's all I'll say on that verse. Are there any questions on that before we start the next verse? Yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you. If I get it right, yesterday we went to different types of rupas, Svayam Rupa, Etadikatmaka Rupa, and then Avesha Rupa? Is that the third classification?
I don't think so.
No, what is it? Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know.
But there was in one of those subcategories, there's Avesha Avatars. So is the Vibhuti a subdivision of the Avesha Avatar?
Just not less? According. Rupa Goswami doesn't. I don't think he uses the term vibhuti, because he's not talking about material expansions, living entities who represent the Lord. He's talking about incarnations, mostly about swamsha avatars. Then he mentions the avesha avatars, but he doesn't go further than that and start talking about vibhutis. In the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, no. Is that the question?
Yeah.
Okay. The word kala, as Rupa Goswami uses it in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, is a different idea than what's being used in this verse. Here the vibhutis are called kalas. But Rupa Goswami in Laghu Bhagavatamrita uses amshan kala to distinguish two different degrees of Vishnu tattva incarnations. So the kala can be used in various ways, and amsha also. Okay, yes, Prahlad Nandaprabhu.
I cannot understand actually. What is abhesa? I mean, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, I heard one devotee that when Swarup Damodar, he was first of all, you know, the Arjuna, before coming to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, he was the Arjuna was with him, and like this is abhesa. And
I'm sorry, who was with him?
Arjuna. Arjuna's power like this, and after that, then he's Lalita in Lalita or Visakha, I don't know.
Well, Avesha, the word means to be influenced or taken over by someone. Just like if a ghost haunts you, being haunted by a ghost, that's Avesha. So what they call in Christianity the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, when the Spirit of God takes over you, then you're an Avesha. Just like, who was it? Who manifested the Lord's Avesha? Nrisimha Brahmachari? No, I know he's asking that, but I'm asking something else. Anyway, there's mention in Chaitanya Charitamrita of the Lord's Avesha when he takes over a devotee and manifests his full power through that devotee. Pradyumna Brahmachari? Okay, anyway, some brahmachari, you know, is manifesting practically the full potency of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is like taking over, like a ghost. But the avesha avatars, they're jivas that are given a certain power of the Lord. A certain power is deposited in them. Not full power, not everything. And they're jivas. That's avesha avatar. When you talk about the Lord's associates, you usually don't have more than one jiva in one body. But some associate may be someone in particular in his original spiritual identity. And on top of that, he's being influenced by the power of another devotee. It's double, but it's not two jivas. It's one jiva who's getting also the empowerment of another jiva. Now that's different than the Shakti Veshavatar. Because the Shakti Veshavatar, the person who's influencing is God. And in the case of these associates who have double identities, the second identity is another devotee, not God. Just like I think Haridas Thakur is actually Brahma, but he's an avesha of Prahlad. He's got the potency of Prahlad. He's not Prahlad, but Prahlad has bestowed his potencies on him, on top of him being Lord Brahma to start with. Like that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes.
So in these verses, the rishis and devas are vibhutis.
Vibhutis, which in this case means they're conditioned souls. They're material personalities.
Oh, so sometimes I hear devotees describe Srila Prabhupada as a Shaktavesh avatar.
Okay, but on what authority? On what authority?
I don't know. They just say like this.
Yeah, they just say like this, but we don't have that from Shastra. We don't have that from Prabhupada himself.
They're empowered because they say, oh, he's empowered by Krishna. So
yes, he's empowered. Okay, you can say it, but you're on sort of shifty ground because it's not authorized by Shastra or by Prabhupada himself.
So one can be empowered by the Lord, but that does not necessarily mean Shaktivashavata.
Well, according to this purport, it's a matter of how much power. You know, if you've got a lot of power, you're called a Vesha. If you've got less, you're called Vibhuti. So on that criteria, following that criteria, we can call Prabhupada a Vaishavatar. But it's still speculation. It's not verified. You know, so I wouldn't push it too far. I wouldn't scream it out in every kirtan. You know, and make big signs, plaster them all over the city, because it's sort of a speculation. It's probably correct, but it's still speculative.
And they say also Jesus Christ Shaktivashavatar, because now he's so popular.
Prabhupada may have said that. I don't know that Jesus Christ was a Shaktivashavatar. Okay, he may have said that, but he didn't say I am a Shaktivashavatar. Yes, I agree with him.
And Vaibhav Prakash.
I don't remember. I think Balaram is Swayam Prakash and Narayan is the other one or something like that. You can check in the Lagu Bhagavatamrita. I translated it, but it was 5 years ago. I don't remember. It's in first chapter of the Lagu Bhagavatamrita. One of them is Balaram, the other one's Narayan, but I don't remember which is which. I'm sorry? First chapter? Where is it? What? I think it's in the new folio, Kushukrat. The translation is there or something. Yes, yes. In English? I think he wants English. You want it in Sanskrit? We have it. You want it in English? It's in my computer. It's just still being edited. Yeah, you can look at it if you want. Just don't give copy to anybody else. Yes? I'm sorry? Why it's what? I'm sorry, I can't hear.
No, you said that 5 years before you translated it, so why is it not released yet?
Because it hasn't been edited yet. Because we don't have editors. That's why the school is here. The book is sitting for 5 years. Going nowhere because we don't have an editor. Okay. Devamrita Maharaj was supposed to edit it, but he was also chairman of the GBC for 2 years. The editing didn't get done. Now someone else is going to try to edit it. It's still not edited. Okay. Maybe we can produce some editors. Then the books won't sit around going nowhere. Translators are not going to be eager to translate if nobody can publish the books. We can't publish without good editors. If you publish without an editor, then you're doing mediocre work, no matter how good you are. Even the best author needs a good editor. If you publish without an editor, it's not going to be good quality. That means somebody else, not that you edit it yourself. Prabhupada said before, I know he said this, before you dare to publish something, you should have somebody check it. He didn't say it has to be, that BBT or somebody in particular. Somebody should check it. That's an editor. Editors are very important. They don't get glory, but they're the most important people. Okay, anything else? Yes. Hi,
can I ask an embodiment? Morning class. I wanted to ask, it is not connected with the Bhagavatam class.
Yeah.
But when Akrura left Dwaraka, that time in Dwaraka there was no rain. So the elder persons, they talk about themselves that he was the son of Sofalka, so that he is not here, so that in Dwaraka there is no rain.
Yes.
So Krishna sent. Although Krishna was there, though, how this calamities will happen?
Krishna's arrangement. Krishna wanted to have some fun. He always wants to have fun. He's always making arrangements and sometimes causing people trouble by his arrangements. So he arranged no rain in Dwarka and blamed it on Krura. It's Krishna's arrangement. Why does Krishna do all these funny things? I don't know. It's to glorify Akrura. Even though he participated in murdering Shatadanva, Krishna wants to glorify him. Krishna wants to glorify you no matter what you are. You'll be glorified. If he doesn't want to, nobody will care about you. What can you do? It's Krishna's arrangement. Another Krishna's arrangement. Okay. I guess we can stop. Any other questions? All right. Thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.